It's a very good morning, everyone. It is Tuesday. It's the last day of April. Gosh, how quick's this year going? April 30, the big sports breakfast, Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab. A very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. Stacks of news today, particularly in the NRL. Looking ahead to the Battle of the Bridge, I think we call it, don't we? The Sydney Derby, the AFL, the Swans and the Giants. This week as well, we'll speak to Toby Bedford later this morning. Some tasty comments from Sam Taylor yesterday. Smug, apparently, of the Swans. Good on him for throwing a bit of a barb out there, adding some spice to the build-up. That's what we love. Just seeing in the Championship this morning, Leicester on the verge of being promoted back to the Premier League. They've taken a 1-0 lead over Preston over there in the UK as well. And as you heard in the intro, Brad Rosen's chipping in this morning. In the midst of the NBA playoffs, NBL free agency as well, former Kings captain, commentator, former assistant coach, amongst a sparkling resume. How are you, Brad?
Morning, boys. Lovely to be here.
And Roosters fan.
Oh, yes. Jeez, we've... It's playing well this year. We are, but I tell you what, they've got some...
Had to enjoy Anzac Day.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Speaking the Dragons.
That was unbelievable, but I'm worried about next year. Jeez, we're losing a lot.
Yeah, big story yesterday with Luke Keary retiring at the end of the season.
You know, I think about that, and Loz, it feels like he's still like in his third season when I think about him. But then, you know, he's been around for years.
Yeah.
He's played so many games. It just feels like he's still so young, but, geez, he's put his body through a lot.
Yeah, morning, boys.
Morning, Loz.
He certainly has. I think it didn't shock a lot of people. Probably the immediacy of it, where he just said he's going to finish at the end of the year. I think people thought that the end was coming at the end of 2025.
Because he just signed that contract.
Just signed his new contract.
Yeah.
But he's certainly been a wonderful player. He's a three-time premiership winning player. Had a lot of success with the Roosters. But the last couple of years have been filled with a few injuries and some concerns about his long-term health. Mm. You know, he suffered a lot of head knocks. And being a little man... he's always a target for the opposition, both with and without the football. So, he's had a mighty career.
Is it harder for little men now? Like, the game is so much faster, so much bigger. Mm. Is it harder?
Oh, in one respect, it probably would be.
For the body, I'm meaning, as well.
But they've got a lot more protection now than they've ever had. So, kicking the ball and digging into the line, 5 years ago, they'd be on the ground.
These days,
you can't touch them.
Yeah.
You know, so they've been looked after a little bit in that regard. Mm. But in terms of people being big, fast, they're always looking for an edge on how they get a fast play the ball. And the obvious target in the opposition is to try and go to the little bloke because he just can't stop the momentum of a big fella if he's carrying the ball. He needs help from a couple of other players, but if you can isolate him in a situation, you get a fast play the ball, or you can run over the top of him and do some damage. So,
and that takes
that's where
toll.
They're at risk. Yeah, oh, mate, 100% it takes its toll as a little bloke, and for doing it for so long. But he's had a wonderful career, and hopefully he'll get through the rest of the year injury free.
And I saw last night on 100% footy, Michael Chemis adamant that his retirement's not concussion related, despite all the knocks he's had, but more that just the motivation's just started to wane. And that's why he... And because only a couple of months ago, he did extend for next year.
Mm.
But when you look at who's walking out the door, but you just trust the Roosters, don't you? Despite... I mean, they're losing...
I don't know who's available, though. I mean, if it was the year after, you know, you go to November 1, you go do what you've got to do.
Point. That's a fair point.
So it's like, well, I don't know what's left.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting, like with Luke Keary, the motivation as well, but... Mm. I also believe one more head knock and his career is possibly over.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I think he's taken that into consideration. It's just not the old, I've had enough. I think he's worried about his long-term future.
Can't blame him.
No, exactly right. In terms of who they go and get, that will be a big challenge. Now, there's some talk that Joey Manu will come back and play next year.
Yeah, that's right.
Later in the season. So if they are able to get him to come back and play... that'll be okay. One thing I've heard about the Roosters, though, they've got a lot of good young talent coming through.
So next man up.
So, so they mightn't look to spend on influential players. They might look to spend at the junior level and just pick and choose what's really needed. And I look at their team, and they are losing a lot of high-profile players. You know, Manu, Kiri, Wirahagri, Swali'i. And there's the possibility of Crichton and Tupu going. So that's well over $4 million.
Yeah. So well, they're reporting 4.2.
Yeah.
4.2
million. So what's salary cap? 10. 10 million. That's 40% of your cap.
Yeah.
It's a lot to lose.
Yeah. And especially, like I say, like it's not like you're going to go to November 1. Well, that's for the year after.
Yeah.
So I just don't. But like you said, if the juniors, and that's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what they're
giving
that's
people an opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah. They've still got, you know, Teddy there, and they've still got, you know, well, Sam Walker becomes a big signing now. They've got to make sure they tie him down, obviously.
Yeah, which I think they will. He's indicated that he wants to stay there at the club, and he sees the Roosters as their home. And given what he did on Anzac Day,
you'd
be getting his signature on the piece of paper as quickly as you possibly can.
Well, their SG Ball side, which is under 19s, isn't it, Loz? SG Ball, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I think it is. Harold Matt's under 17s, SG Ball 19s. They were minor premiers, went 9-0 through the season and suffered a shock loss to the Bulldogs in a semi-final and didn't make the grand final. Yeah. But apparently they've got some great kids.
A lot of people have told me that. And that's not just Roosters people. This is people with inside the game that go and watch a lot of junior rugby league. They've told me that that side has got a number of future first grade players in it.
But gee, Warrior Hargreaves, Manu, Swali.
Well, you don't get that experience, do you, straight away? That's the problem. You know, you look at what the Raiders are going through at the moment with their inexperienced backline. They're all going to be great players. They're going to be very good players. But they're just not ready for sometimes
forward.
It's just not going to get that consistency that you're after. You know, they weren't great on the weekend, but they might be like that for another week, but then they might have a high in one of their performances.
Yeah.
But it's just hard to sustain that consistent level. But that's why these guys are so important to your footy team, the consistency that they bring. But you've got to learn and understand that that's what you need to do to be successful at this level. So it's a good learning curve for all players.
Tough to do because, I mean, the pressure's on every week.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a sense, you don't have time to do that, because it's like, well, if you lose, I mean, look at South at the moment, you're losing. Everyone wants everyone gone, and who's the replacement? Let's go to England. Go
and they've got a lot of senior players too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it doesn't always necessarily mean that you're going to win or lose if you've got a senior or junior team. Mm. It's just a matter of trying to get that right mix and get them to perform week in, week out.
And Bradley, we are in the midst of the NBA playoffs, of course, and it's been just a great reminder. During the season, the regular season, I watch NBA when I'm financially invested for pretty much no other reason, unless some, like I see, I'm new, the New York
Knicks. I'm
still
not 100% sure I've watched a whole game in the regular season.
There's no way.
No, it's just unbelievable.
But the playoffs, like, watching the playoffs, it's unbelievable. They are seriously completely different.
It is a
seasons.
Problem for the league, and that's
massive,
why they had that play-in tournament.
Problem.
That's why they did that play-in series where the Lakers won it, because it's like, we've got to play for something. You know, let's try and get this going. But it's just like two different sports, isn't it?
Completely different.
It's unbelievable, and I mean, you just wait around for this, and every
series...
They're
not going to shorten the season, are they?
I mean, not maybe two games they play, and... I mean, the money that goes through TV rights, there is not a chance.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
No owner's going to put up their hand and go, I'm going to take 10 games less home revenue, are they?
No, I'm happy to, lose 30 mil. No problem. Yeah. So, no, that is not going to happen. But it is a problem, and it is getting harder. And, you know, back in our day, it was, you know, the Michael Jordan, where he was like, I'm playing every game because I know someone's paying to watch me play, and I want to prove that I'm the greatest in the world. Where there's all this, you know, load management and everything now, it's so different. But these series, I got to be honest, the Knicks and Philly series is my favorite. I just love watching those two go at it, because you can see they hate each other. They absolutely hate each other.
It's brilliant.
I think it's great, the Knicks. I hope they play Boston in the East final. I think that's what I would love to see, because I'm really enjoying watching New York play.
But there's a real passing in the torch in the NBA at the moment, isn't there? Watching, Kevin Durant in Phoenix yesterday.
Oh, man.
They've gone out 4-0 in the first round. LeBron and the Lakers are going out.
Yeah, they will.
Denver are taking care of them. It's just probably today.
Yep.
Steph, Yeah. And the Warriors.
Didn't even get in. Yeah.
And, you know, you watched yesterday Anthony Edwards at the T-Wolves. You've seen Jalen Brunson at New York.
He had.
Obviously, and Jokic 47. Is the man. It's a passing of the torch,
it is.
Isn't it?
It is. It's been so fun to watch. And there's still, you know, like Kyrie Irving drops in and does some stuff. It's like, I'm still here, boys, you know. And look, you got to give LeBron and Anthony Davis credit. I mean, Anthony Davis is averaging 30 in this series. LeBron's 28. They're doing everything they can. LeBron's 39 years of age, averaging 28 points and doing everything they can. But the next group is coming through. But I think the best of the next group at the moment, I mean, I know they say like Luka, Anthony Edwards is playing both ends of the floor. He is unbelievable what he's doing for Minnesota, and I'm loving that. They're obviously, you know, got that series, and Phoenix are in severe issues. They have no trades. They gave up a lot of stuff for Bradley Beal. He had 9 points yesterday, and Bradley Beal's next 3 years contract, $50, $55, and $61 million. So he's got 3 years of $161 million left in his. No one will trade for him. No one's going to want
that. That contract.
So Phoenix, and he came off yesterday, and it looked like he flipped the coach and didn't want to give him five. KD's come out and said, I didn't like having to sit in the corner. And, you know, it's like, oh, man, that is just a train.
Who's the next sort of superstar we're about to see? Because I don't know whether it's me or other people, when you see that Jokic play, like he's very good, but he doesn't seem to have the, how would I say this?
The charisma? Like the
aura?
Pizzazz. Yeah, he doesn't.
Of a LeBron or a Jordan, even though he's a great. So will he elevate himself? I don't see him elevating himself to that
He'll
sort of status. Who's the guy that's going to come in with it all?
Well, I think Anthony Edwards is the one, but the one that's going to be the next one is Wembanyama from San Antonio, the big seven.
So he's got everything.
He's got, and just like block shots, shoot, runs.
Personality.
Probably awkward looking as well, like because he's just so tall. It's like laughable that he's doing what he's doing, but he can shoot the three. So that's probably the
next. Because that Jokic looks like he'd rather just be off the court.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no, go.
Mate, it's his horse racing. I know at half time, he will be looking at his horses. He loves his horse racing.
Yeah.
He in change rooms and everything. He's betting on races. Yeah. He just loves it. So for him, he's like, you know, and I've got to play, do I? Right. So I'll go on there and bet that race for me, would you? So he's got a lot of horses and he loves it. So you're right. He hasn't got that swagger.
A lot of
players do have.
But as a coach, you'd take him any day of the week over the drama of some of these blokes. Like the NBA, unlike the NFL, the NBA is just, you know, it gravitates to its, or bends over for its superstars. It really does. It's all about the individual, isn't
100%.
It?
100%. Well, that's what buys the jerseys.
Yeah.
That's what gets people's bums on seats. That's what pays the owners. So the owners are saying to these superstars, what do you want? Don't like the coach? I'll get rid of him. Who do you want now? Well, I need a better player. Let's trade for him.
Yeah.
You know, so
look at Milwaukee. Here they are 3-1 down.
Yeah.
They wanted to get rid of their coach.
Oh,
they're actually gone worse.
Yeah, they've gone worse.
Rivers.
I mean,
they got injuries.
They got injuries. I agree with that. But still, that's part of the way it is. So, also, I should say, Gilbert Arenas from OKC is
Gilgeous-Alexander.
Sorry, Gilgeous-Alexander. Sorry, I'm going back to Phoenix. you know, he is a very, very good player. The only thing at the moment is yet to see what he'll do in that playoffs. They're going to win this series against the Pelicans easily. And they're a very young team, but he's an absolute baller, that good kid. He can play, but he's not a Wembanyama.
Yeah, the NBA will be desperate to get him into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. And look, I think they'll get a high pick again this year.
Yeah.
I mean, losing a little bit like if people remember what happened to Philly a number of years ago where they got Ben Simmons at number one and then they had Embiid at number three, but, you know, he had injury. So they gradually built, and that's what San Antonio will do. It's probably good they didn't win as many games for that club this year because they'll get a higher pick. Then they'll get the next guy, and then you'll get players that will go, I'm coming out of contract, getting towards the end of my year. I want to go and play with Wemby. I want to go and do that. There's to be some fun times, and that's what will happen.
And just a reminder, outside of horse racing, the second most bet anything with TAB customers is the NBA.
Yeah.
number two
doesn't
after
hurt,
horse racing.
Doesn't hurt that there's probably 70,000 things to games to bet on, you know.
That's a factor.
But still,
but
it's everyone's got an opinion and everyone loves it, no question.
So looking forward at the Roosters, a feature of the back pages of the papers, the Telegraph, Chook's $4 million war chest, and in the Herald, or on the back page of the Herald, life after Luke. With that story saying they're going to put their faith in a Sandon-Smith-Sam Walker halves combination potentially going forward, Loz.
Yeah, everything I've seen of young Smith suggests he's going to be a long-termer. And they've played well together. And they're similar ages, so they've probably got that connection. So it's probably the way forward for the Roosters. But we spoke about that war chest, and the fact that they've got some money there doesn't mean that they'll go and waste it either. They'll be very strategic in how they go about spending it. You'd be nervous, though, if you're a rival club having your best players come off in 25, and you look at the Broncos, who have both got Selwyn Cobbo and Katoni Staggs coming off at the end of 2025, and the amount of money that those two are going to be offered. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if that's one of the key signings for the Roosters.
Good point.
In years to come.
Back page as well on the Herald. D-Day for JD. Rabbitohs to decide on Demetrio. Board meeting today. 8 a.m. this morning, in fact. They play Penrith on Thursday. So surely it'd be interesting if they decided to part ways today, Loz, considering in 48 hours, or just over 48 hours, they got a pretty big game.
Yeah, look, it's going to be hard for him to remain in that position. I think what will happen is they'll discuss all options today, and given it's 48 hours till Thursday night's game, they will wait till the outcome of that game before they tell people what they're doing. And it could be he's either gone, or I think he has to win to survive. To give himself any opportunity of surviving, he'd have to win against Penrith. And that might buy him some time, but I think the writing's on the wall and the drums are beating that, you know, he's coming to an end. And I don't like seeing it unfold like this. I hate seeing coaches get sacked. I really feel for them. It's what they love. They get an opportunity. It hasn't worked out. And just to be dragged through the media like this, the non-stop worry that they must have as well. I know they've got to be stoic and talk about how they're just focused on the team, but it's their future as well.
Oh, it'd just be awful environment, family, everyone involved. It's so tough. I'm interested to hear your thoughts, Loz, on you know, do they put Whiten at 5'8", Cody at half? Is that an answer?
I think it's... I don't know whether it's the answer, but I think it's an option. I think when you look at the Bunny squad as a whole, we're now starting to see where there are weaknesses, or we're starting to see where players aren't performing as well as what they should. Defensively, they're poor. In the middle, they're getting belted up at times. And some of their big-name players just aren't executing as well as what we know they can. So they look like they've lost confidence and look like they've lost the energy to perform for the coach. Unfortunately, that's what it looks like.
We'll talk about Latrell's Origin availability. It's also on the back page of the Daily Telegraph after the 6 o'clock news. Just the back page of the Courier Mail as well. Made for Origin. Broncos back rower shapes as Maroons bolter. And that's in regards to Brendan Piakura. 21 years of age, Loz. He's made a pretty good impression.
He's a good player, yeah. And they've had a rap on him for a number of years. There'll be some competition for that back row spot. Obviously, you've got Nene up there at the Cowboys. You've got Dave Fafita, who was very good. But there's a
Jai Arrow's back.
But, you know, there's an opening there with no Tommy Gilbert for sure. You know, they can always go back to an old stager like Felice Kaufusi as well, even though he's out with a hamstring problem, but they probably want to move past that now. But, yeah, no, he's playing some decent football, so I'm sure he'd be considered. But I think he's certainly a player of the future, and by the end of the year, his star will be a lot brighter than what it is now.
Just back page of the Herald and the Australian as well, about Rugby Australia announcing a $9.2 million loss yesterday for 2023. Now, it should be noted during World Cup years, generally, the losses are large. They lost more than $9 million as well in 2015 and 2019. Obviously, expenditure's huge, being a World Cup year, less home test matches for revenue, etc. But still, that's considering, you know, the situation the game's in, that's not good.
Can I ask, though, generally lose money, World Cup years, that's fine. But how does that compare to other nations?
I don't
do they
know.
All lose money?
I think my understanding is New Zealand do as well, and South Africa as well. Right. So
you can understand how it makes sense. They're on the road nonstop. Like what can go on? You know, they're away for months. But I think it's just that another nail, isn't it? That just is like this.
Well, it's just, but it shows you how successful you have to be at a World Cup though, to make money.
Yeah,
which doesn't make sense. Like you think in a World Cup year, if you win, not that the Australians have won, but they made a final there one year, 2015.
And they still lost more than $9 million that year.
I'd love to know, though, over a four-year period. That's what I'd like. Because, you know, like in theory, you go well at the World Cup. The next year you bring in, you know, the All Blacks here and whatever you play. Okay, then crowds come to go in and then you get your bums on seats and then money comes in. So whilst you might lose $9 million over here, you might also pick up $30 million over here, sponsors and all those things. So I'd like to me, I see that as a four-year period. Yeah. End of World Cup to start of World Cup.
Yeah, that cycle.
What's that cycle? What did we do?
Well, two big factors contributing to that in the last 12 months. They spent nearly $4 million propping up the Melbourne Rebels. You'd have to think that, I mean, at the moment they're in talks to try and see whether they can continue.
Won't survive.
It doesn't sound like it, does it? Mm. And also, there were 2.6 million of unapproved expenses out of the World Cup.
So Eddie Jones
World Cup, and they've said they've put measures in place to ensure. But clearly, Eddie just given free reign, and we didn't even make it out of our group. Eddie's got a lot to answer for what he's left, the mess he left, and the way he left. Still,
well, I know they're saying that they lose money in a World Cup year, but realistically, if you take those two issues away,
it's not too bad, is it?
They're not losing money at all. Mm. Well, they're losing what a couple million.
World Cup year.
On a World Cup year.
So it's actually, they've curbed it not too badly outside of those two issues. If it's that straightforward, I mean, we're not accountants in here. I don't know. You might be. You got your own business, Brad.
No, I pay people to do that.
And again, my only issue is the amount of debt that they have. Mm. And their money that they will make in the next 4-year cycle, a lot of that
will pay off the debt. Yeah, well, they're hoping. Well, they're about 50
which is fine. But then, where's your next money coming from?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Daniel Herbert, invest. The chairman says the looming windfalls from the Lion series next year, and you got your home World Cups, men's in 27, women's in 29, must be used to reset the game. So they're eagerly awaiting all that cash to come in.
At the end of the day, it's up to the panel to decide what the outcome will be.
That is not acceptable as a professional athlete these days.
You can't assume that that is the way of the world now.
I've just seen too many times recently where he's just been hit.
We just don't have that sort of foot on the throat where we really just put teams away.
He looked twice the player when Ponga's on the field as well. Yeah.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, time now for Pressing Matters.
Yes, our Tuesday segment, Pressing Matters. And let's have a little listen firstly. The big news yesterday at the Roosters, Luke Keary announced that this season will be his last, the 32-year-old. I only signed an extension a couple of months ago. So he's joining Jarrell Hargreaves, Joey Manu, Joseph Swart-Lee, and heading for the exit at Bondi Junction. At the end of the year, Angus Crichton and Daniel Tupou are also possibly leaving. Three premierships, Luke Keary, won at Souths in 2014. It was the Clive Churchill medalists when they won the premiership in 2018. And then they backed it up, the Roosters, in 2019. So he's played 212 games so far. One origin for New South Wales, game one, that was in 2020, the COVID year. And a couple of tests for Australia in 2018. He played three for Ireland at the 2022 Rugby League World Cup as well. Here's Luke Keary announcing it. They put out on the Roosters website a video of his announcement yesterday.
So after 12 seasons and 27 years of playing the game I love, I've decided that this will be my last and I'll be retiring at the end of the year. It's a decision I've had thought long and hard about. I know this is the right decision for myself and my family.
Right now, my main focus is on giving my all for this great club for the remainder of the 2024 campaign. I'm excited about what we are building towards, and I look forward to creating special memories throughout the rest of the year.
Luke Heary there, and Loz, you know, alluded to it earlier. Probably not a great surprise, despite the fact he announced that extension a couple of months ago.
No, and I think he's made the right decision if he's hasn't got the desire and that want to compete. And it's not so much on the field, but it's about at training as well. And the intensity levels at training these days is just as high as what they are on the field. And, you know, you look at his long-term issues that he's had with concussion and head knocks, and I know he said that that's not one of the reasons, but you certainly have to think about it when you're making decisions about your future. But he's had a wonderful career. He's been a three-time premiership winner, and he's been one of the gutsiest players we've ever seen. For someone his stature, to put his body on the line and to put his body through what he has been remarkable. You know, he's a halfback or 5'8" that took the ball deep into the line, got belted on a number of occasions. He'd have big blokes aiming up at him every week. It's not like Luke Keary could go out onto the football field and no one knew where he was, because in team meetings in the lead up to the game, they'd be saying, he's stationed here. This is where he'll be. This is how we need to get to him. This is how we need to find him one-on-one. This is how we're looking for a quick play the ball. And if he's got the ball, you know, he's only a small man, let's try and be aggressive with him, handle him, and manhandle him if we can. So he's put his body through a lot. But I've spoken on this program before about people retire for different reasons. But one thing, if you've lost that hunger and desire to compete, you know it's time.
Yeah, especially in that sport too, where it's, you know, so hard on your body. What I love whenever I hear, you know, people are doing this, and in this instance it's Luke, is the fact that what other people say about you. That's the nicest thing. The coaches come out and, you know, what a great player. And I listen to Cooper Cronk and you know, and these guys, you know, he's a legend of our sport, these guys, and they're coming out and what a great guy he is on and off the court. And that's what, to me as a player, when you retire, if your peers are saying that about you, head up.
Yeah, and the thing about it now is that he knows where the finish line is, so he can really push himself, and he's got that date that he knows that it's final. So I reckon he'll get an extra spring in his step now when he turns up at training, because he realises that this could end. Well, it's going to end at the end of the year, but I need to make the most of this. While
and
I'm
can
here
also
right now.
Bring that spring for the team.
Yeah, exactly right.
Not only he retiring, you look at, you know, Hargraves and what's going on with Manu, although he may be back. Yeah. You know, all these things can lift the team.
And I don't know how you came to the decision, Brad, but for me, I was woke up one morning and just knew that I didn't have the drive and passion, and my knee wasn't great. And I knew that I couldn't play to the standards that I wanted to.
That's the one.
So I knew that I didn't want to run around, continue to run around, and not be the player I used to be.
It's the standards one.
Yeah, the standards. Mm. And the other one is, at least he gets to do it on his own terms. Because sometimes it gets taken away from you.
Yep.
And I reckon that would be hard. If you've still got that love, you've still got that passion, but all of a sudden, injury stops and derails your career.
See you later. Yeah, so right. For me, I had two shoulder reconstructions, and the body was like, I don't want to go through that. I had a two-year deal on the table, and I was like, I can't do this. And I remember speaking to my girlfriend, now wife, back then, going, I don't know if I can do well, do what you want to do. But then, you know, sometimes you think later, should have I done it?
Yeah.
I do like the fact that I did retire probably. I didn't want to ever retire where, geez, you're playing awful, like, and the club don't want you anymore. I didn't want that, and thankfully I didn't have to. But still, I would have liked to walk out with a championship as well, but I didn't get that one either.
And he's one of the players to cross the, well, do we say the Allison Road divide?
Yes.
Between Souths and the Roosters, and to win premierships at both clubs.
That's amazing. You know, 2014, wasn't it, Rabbitohs? Yeah. And he was great. Yep. And I remember when he signed, I was like, oh, that's an interesting one. And look what he's done for the club. Brilliant.
Another rugby union player, wasn't he?
I think he was. Would you say Allison Road's probably the most cleanest divide between Souths and the Roosters?
Allison, I know that's Anzac Parade, it's got a bit in there.
I remember when I lived in Coogee, and this is uni, I reckon in Coogee most people out of the two clubs, there were more South fans in Coogee, but that was 20 years
ago.
Yeah,
I think
land values in Coogee have exploded since then.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's look, but, it's always divided there.
I know.
It's fair. You can sit
never
in pubs
a clean
and
divide.
Clubs down in Coogee and half a half, and the other half go at you.
Okay, we didn't have. It was the only big retirement announcement yesterday in the AFL. Former Adelaide captain Rory Sloane. Gee, what a player he's been. He retired effective immediately on medical advice. Now, he had eye surgery. He's had big eye issues. He's had detached retinas, fractured eye sockets, etc., and had surgery on a previous issue again in January. And he was at risk of further damage. So after 255 games, his career has ended. Rory Sloane.
16 seasons.
Yeah, let's have a listen to Rory Sloane.
They're the reasons you want to play. I mean, we've got a showdown coming up this weekend, and I was like, not getting those moments again, laying those tackles and playing in front of that crowd and getting to do what we do with all this crew here and this footy club. I mean, I love my job. I've loved being a part of this for 16 years, and it's probably the realisation you've got to let that go at some point for the betterment of my future health was, that was just pretty tough for me. But I do like seeing things, so I will keep my vision for the rest of my life, and that's something I'm going to cherish. I've dodged a couple of bullets along the way, but I've got so many memories.
Pretty good reason to retire,
wow.
I reckon.
Yeah, wow, that's big, isn't it? When you see that. Goes back to what you were just saying.
Well, that's exactly right, Brad. You know, when you're talking about you could possibly lose your eyesight or rugby league, we've got to remember that rugby league's only a short period of your life, and you've got a lot more years after your sporting career to look forward to. And while he will have some regret at some stage, Rory, about the fact that it was taken away from him, hopefully he is able to move on and forget about not retiring on his own terms, but realise the great career that he's had and the impact he's had on a footy team, the impact he's had on a community, and all the nice things that are about to happen to him moving forward, family, being around to celebrate milestones, being able to see your kids, see your wife, see your family. I think that's more important than playing rugby league, AFL.
Brad Newley, a former Sydney Kings player, dual Olympian, retired this year from Melbourne United. And I spoke to him and he said that this whole year he had been talking to a psychologist about retiring. And when I hear these type of things, I worry for players after their sport, whatever sport that may be. You know, we all know it, Loz, you grow up and you're told when to eat, you're told when to sleep, you're told what to do, be a training, do this, go on the road, we're flying, we're doing these things. And then all of a sudden, you're on your own. And it's so hard. And many years ago, there was no such thing as, you know, sports psychologists and things like that. It was just deal with it yourself. And I remember speaking to Brad about this, Brad Newley, and he said it was so hard, the decision, if I didn't have that person next to me, you know, saying, it's okay. Mm. You can do this. And, you know, you hear people in sport, and I just hope for Rory, going back on what you were saying, Loz, that I guess in a forced retirement is really what we're saying, even after 16 seasons and what a great career, you just hope that the support's there because it's tough. Yeah. It's really tough. Not everyone gets the chance, like you're saying, to retire on their terms.
Well, sometimes you're unsure of what your future holds for you. You're nervous
about financials, everything.
Everything comes into play. And you think that you've been a footballer all your life. What am I going to do now? So that's why you always tell people to start to prepare as quickly as you can.
You're never ready, are you?
No, but you're never ready when you have to make that decision or it's taken away from you. But and I can only speak, say, for rugby league players and exactly what you said before about, everything's done for you.
Yep.
So you've got to be able to have structure in your life when you finish your footy career. And if you don't, that's when I think you can start to go by the wayside and start to get in trouble and lose your way. So you've got to have a reason to get up in the morning. You've got to have structure in your life. You've got to get up and go to work or find something you have to do to fill in your time, fill in your day. Because if you're sitting around with a bit of money, twiddling your thumbs, well, I know what you can get yourself into.
Yeah. No better example at the moment, Sam Fisher. Very good player at St Kilda during the course of his career. He is off to jail on May 16. He's going to be sentenced for drug trafficking.
Mm.
Sad, sad story. I saw him in a picture on the weekend with all his old St Kilda teammates, like the, you know, all the great player, the Rewald, etc., all rallied around him. You know, he played in those grand finals in 2009-10. Yeah. I think he was all Australian.
Absolutely.
You know, what an awful situation he's found himself in post-career, and exactly goes to exactly what you're just talking about, isn't it, Loz? We hear it, you know, not a lot, but it does happen, doesn't it?
Oh, most definitely does, like that, you know. And these players go from having so much adulation thrown at them, superstars, people know who they are, and all of a sudden,
you're a number.
1 year after retirement, you know, people don't know who you are, you know, or what you've achieved. And all of a sudden it hits you that, oh, I'm in the real world here.
Yeah.
So the quicker you can be grounded and the quicker you can have something to dig your teeth into straight away, I think the better you'll always be.
I think it's something in sport. I can't really speak so much for the NRL because I'm not 100% sure, but I know in basketball and other sports, it's something in sport that we need to do better to be able to prepare people. They come out, basketball, you can come out of school, go straight to the institute, go into an NBL team, you know nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, and you're getting thrown hundreds of thousands of dollars and life's easy. It's very hard.
All right. VAR, bunker, interference. Ange Postecoglou's had a crack at the VAR, or had a bit of a rant on the VAR in the wake of the loss from Tottenham against Arsenal over the course of the weekend in the North London Derby. Let's have a listen to what Ange had to say.
Doesn't matter if I saw it. What matters is that, as I've said all along, games are not refereed at the stadium anymore. They're refereed somewhere else. And no one will convince me otherwise. It's not even re-refereed. It's refereed somewhere else. It's why I don't celebrate goals anymore. I've got to wait for somebody down the road. So I just don't think referees in the stadium anymore have that authority they used to make decisions. They just go, you know what, I'll just wait till see what the bloke down the road thinks. And it's a shame. I don't like it, but it's here to stay, and I've got to accept it like everyone else.
Yeah, Ange Postecoglou there. I heard Bulldog, actually. I think he wrote it in the paper yesterday, our man Dean Ritchie, that, well, to reduce interference, and whether it be VAR in football, maybe bunker in the NRL, leave it up to the players to do captain's challenges, like we see in the cricket now with the DRS. Not a perfect solution, but he got poo-pooed when he sort of announced it on 360 last night. I actually don't mind it because, you know, the Appy Corris, our one we were speaking about yesterday, Loz, and just so many tries we see, which we've seen over the course of 100 years, is a try.
Yeah, but how's that going to change?
Well, it depends. So
if you go to the video ref,
if you get one incorrect challenge, a half. So the referee has to make a decision.
You're right.
And the only time you bring in a bunker is if the defending side wants to challenge.
Yeah, but the referee, he blew it upstairs. Well, blew the whistle, took it upstairs, but gave a no try. So his decision would have been no try.
Okay. But you can't do that unless he has to. Okay, well, his decision would have been no try.
No, yeah,
okay.
That's what I mean.
Well, that would have been an incorrect decision.
So you get you're after an extra challenge during the game. Is that right? Or just have the
the referee can't send it upstairs, is what we're saying. Yeah. It's in the hands of the players to send it upstairs. And you get one incorrect, one and a half. That's what Bulldog's argument was. I didn't mind it.
Yeah, well, I don't see how it's any different because the players could have sent it upstairs on Saturday.
But they get it wrong, they're not sending it up again.
Yeah, but they would have
got it
wrong.
And the referee can't either.
Because if they said, oh, well, we think that's a try, you've got it wrong, they send it up. The video referee, his decision has been no try.
I understand. I guess
I don't see merit in that. No,
okay. I was watching that last night, and I do understand where he's coming from. My problem is if you have that as well, it gets back. I still remember in the Ashes series where they went upstairs, lost the call, and then Lyon Bowles. Clear plum, not
out.
And then you get a situation.
That now was the famous Headingley test.
Right. Now it's
in 19. Yeah.
Now it's the captain's fault.
Yeah.
So I think we're just diverting. I have absolutely no doubt you've got to have them in sport. If you don't, then you can't rely on a referee now to make the right call every time in the pace of any sport, any single sport. You got to have bunkers. You got to have. I just think that's what it is. Yeah. And there's going to be howlers, and everyone.
Well,
makes
it's here
mistakes.
To stay. They're not taking it
no,
away. That's
and,
the problem.
And I don't think you can.
We mightn't all agree with it.
Yeah.
But it's not going away. And in fact, they're going to use it more. Do I agree with the bunker? No, I don't. But am I getting used to seeing the bunker? Yes, I am. Does it annoy me when they take a long period of time to come up with a decision? Yes. And I get as annoyed as any rugby league fan.
So, Loz, I'll throw this at you then. 20 years ago when there was no bunker, are we getting better decisions now than where we were back
then? I'd say there'd be more correct decisions.
Yeah. And is that...
But I'll tell you what else there'd be. There'd be more argument about the decisions because in the past you just played on.
Yeah.
You didn't have time to go back and review and analyse.
Slow motion.
Everything was just decision was made and then you rolled.
Yeah.
So you didn't have chance to go back and review everything. Mm-hmm. You might have after the game. But that's like these six to goes because they're all subjective.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't know what that's been given for. Mm. You know, all they do is wave their hand around and away you go. But did I like it at the start? No, I didn't. Have I become accustomed to it? Yeah. Do I actually know why they're waving their hand and giving another six to go? Only because I read it on the television.
Yeah. It's a good
but
one.
If I'm in a game, I wouldn't have a clue. I just see that as like the tackle that's happened before.
Yeah.
Just as slow or just as fast. So I think it's just something that we accept.
The one thing I did like about what Bulldog was saying is if you got it wrong, you lose an interchange. I didn't mind that because it was like, all right, well, you think it's that bad, go for it. But geez, you're going to give up something if you do. I didn't mind that.
Yeah, I don't think players think about that in the heat of the moment, though.
No, you're right,
mate. Every player, when you make a mistake, you don't think it's a mistake.
Yeah. No.
Look.
And they're hard because you have the ball and you come into contact, all right?
Mm.
You might think you've gripped the ball, but if it has a little bit of a bobble and touches you, they will deem that a knock on into the opposition play. But you don't notice that at the time. Screaming hell, going, screaming back out, I never dropped it. I never lost control. But if it looks like it's just sort of rolled out a little bit, mate.
Well, that's the thing. Losing the protest. I'm really struggling with basketball at the moment. If you look at it, this swirling of the finger, get the replay. You would have seen this too, Mido. You would love where they're like swinging their hands. Yeah. Come on, click it. And it's like, mate, like you're in the heat of the action. Be careful. Yeah. You might have got off someone else. You don't know. No. And coaches, it's hard. Hard work.
I see in football, Sweden. It's the only one of Europe's top 30 leagues where they haven't brought in the VAR. The Swedish, they're onto something. Welcome back. Brad Rosen joining us this morning. Just some scores. Well, in the English Championship, Leicester City, they're going to clinch the championship this morning. They're 3-0 up in the 78th minute against Preston. They're going up, back up to the Premier League. Jamie Vardy, 37 these days. Jamie Vardy, what a stalwart he's been at that club. He's got a brace in this game this morning for the Foxes. So the Premier League champions of, 10 years ago in one of the great sporting fairy tales in modern times. I think they were 500-1, or thereabouts, maybe 1,000-1 heading into that season. Won the Premier League, found themselves eventually relegated. Well, they're back up to the Premier League and will clinch the championship this morning. Now, also, Brad, yesterday, what was going on? We spoke earlier about some of the NBA playoff series, and yesterday Minnesota ended Phoenix's season. What happened to the Minnesota coach late in that game?
Look, it's something I've never seen. You see coaches up and down the sideline all the time, but basically Connolly was dribbling the ball down, who plays for Minnesota, and he's got knocked. Sorry, he was defending. And as Booker was coming down, he's got knocked and he's run straight into his coach and he's torn the coach's patella tendon. He just got absolutely smashed to the ground. And Mike Connolly, imagine doing that to your coach. He might get traded. But it was complete, like, not his fault. Yeah. He got bumped into
it. But it was a tight contest towards the end. There was only 3 or 4 points in it. And he had to get carried from the field.
He was gone. A minute and a half to go.
Oh, from the court,
A minute and a half to go, he was carried off. And it's been reported now he's ruptured his...
Ruptured patella tendon.
Patella tendon. Well, I mean, obviously he'll be there, but...
he'll be sitting.
He won't be walking up and down. So that the pain in, you know, poor guy. And, you know, not the youngest bloke coaches, right? You're always, you know, and probably played so many games. He's probably got sore and crook knees as it is, the poor bugger. But, oh, man, it was it's something I have never seen in my 40 years of watching basketball.
But he mightn't be able to travel.
Early,
would he? A patellar operation, just...
The only thing you could say is they're in the West, so they don't, but now, right now, because they've won the series, they've actually got time off.
Ah, right.
So he'll go and do what he's got to do. When I say time off, it also depends how long the series goes that they've got to play against. But look, they're in the West. They could drive. They could do so many things. But he'll probably be okay. But, oh, man, that would be very, very painful this morning, except that they won the series, so it'll feel a lot better.
Well, they'll be playing Denver.
Yeah.
When Denver beat your Lakers.
Yeah, I think that'll happen today, too.
Yeah. Mm. I think that's happening. Now, a story we didn't get to on the back page of the Daily Telegraph. Trell's Origin Blue. NRL dispute looms over Origin availability. So Buzz has written this article writing how clubs have an obligation, Loz, to release players for rep footy, and players are also obliged to make themselves available if selected. Now, there are exceptions, medical reasons, i.e. Caelan Ponga last year, I guess.
Yep.
All players retire from rep footy, i.e. Jack Whiten, as we saw. So this is put in their contracts, their standard NRL playing contracts, I guess Buzz is alluding to. That you, if you've got an NRL contract, you're available for selection, and you're eligible, you're available for selection for rep footy.
Yeah, I think they need to be eligible for rep football. But I understand if it's through injury. If you've had a serious run with injury, or you're seriously worried about your head knocks that you've been receiving in the lead up to a big series, I can understand you saying, hey, listen, I'm not prepared to put myself at risk here. So I get that. If you've played 10 years of representative football and you're in your 30s and you think, well, now I want to focus on my club, mate, I've got no problem with that. No problem at all. And I've got no problem if players say at the start of the year, you know what, I don't want to play rep football. I just want to focus on my club. All right? I totally understand. I don't like if you say, well, I'm going to miss this game, but then I'll be available for that game. That's all. I just don't think you pick and choose. I think you're either in or you're out. Because I see an issue where if it's a dead rubber game three, if you've got a bit of a niggle in a state of origin, mate, you're probably not playing. Well, the clubs are putting pressure on you to not play.
It's difficult when players are paid what they're paid and clubs need them to pay there, but it is the pinnacle of the sport, right? That state of origin is the pinnacle, in my opinion. Like, I mean, I know
it's a pinnacle to watch. But I'm still playing for Australia.
Grand finals, I get that. Yeah. But I'm saying the money that it generates, you need your best players playing, which is a bit of what your argument is. Yeah. That's why you're worried about it, game three and things like that. I think you got to play. Like, I personally want to see Latrell in that game. Would I pick him? I'm not a selector, way above my pay grade and everything. But yes, you see all these, you know, Queenslanders for years where they pick and stick and the guy might not be playing so well and he comes out and has, you know, they put that jersey on and bang. In games when it's, you know, Lozzy, you've been there, that there's moments in games that change the series. I want a Latrell in there. And I think it'd be such a shame, and I think it needs to be taken out of the players' hands. You got to play. That's the rule. That's, you know.
We haven't heard from Latrell yet, and we probably won't publicly.
No, that's exactly right. We haven't heard from him, so we're speculating here. But I've got no issue if Latrell says, I don't want to play. That's fine.
But then
where I have an issue is if you say, well, I don't want to play that game, but I want to play this game.
So then if he says no, that should be for the series, or
just for the series. Okay, right. Just for the series.
Yeah,
because there's mitigating circumstances for every individual.
Mm.
You know, if you haven't played a lot of football, or like Caelan Ponga last year, all those head knocks, to go into an environment like State of Origin, geez, he would have been running the risk of ending his career. So I completely understand all those scenarios. But I think you're either in or you're out. You're not picking and choosing when you do it, that's all.
And as a coach, and you've obviously been there, Loz, I'm not talking about Latrell, just a player generally. If they balk at playing Origin, you're not picking your mate.
No, well, you're probably not, no, because you've got other options. You know, but I think with Origin, you've got to, you know, be in a clear state of mind too. You've got to be all in, and you've got to want to be a part of the team. You're going to want to be a part of trying to win the series. And it's too difficult if you're not.
I feel for Michael Maguire here, because here's a situation where you're taken over as a coach. You just want the focus to be on the team. We know the series situations over the last few years. And right now is, no matter whether he plays or doesn't play, that's going to take a lot of airspace.
Yeah.
And he's now got to get this team prepared where Luttrell would
I
be in the
I wonder what
team.
Luttrell thinks of it all, though. He hasn't said anything.
Yeah, it's a good
and
point.
And here we are, we're speculating about it. Well, the poor bugger, he probably just wants to go away and not have anyone talk about him.
Yeah.
Yet because he's such a big name and there's been something said, we're discussing it. Mm. So and until we hear from him, we actually don't know what he's thinking.
Mm.
But as a general rule, where I sit on it, is that you're either in or you're out. Mm. You just can't pick and choose.
T's loving it. Queensland.
Oh, they would
They'd be loving listening to what
here
us
they go again.
Go on about this. Anyway, we've got Jared Duffy, our resident Queenslander, joining us. How are you, Jared? Well, Queenslander via Victoria. The Northern Territory.
Yeah, I've seen a bit of the countryside.
Who do you support in State of Origin, Dav?
Oh, Queensland.
Yeah.
I'm a Victorian, Loz.
Please.
No, it's sickening, isn't it?
So why do you align yourself? I know you're living up there, but other than living up there, have you always been?
There's actually a reason for it because when I...
The great fat?
Yeah. When I got to Alice Springs at the start of centre betting, or the start of 1993, I wouldn't have been able... Actually, I knew one rugby league side, Canberra, because of how good they were. But I had to learn pretty quickly.
I should see the look on this bloke's face.
His chest just came out
tenfold.
I love Ricky Stewart. I used to love Greg Clyde. No, and actually, in 1994, they used to take those... did they call it the Winfield Cup?
Yep.
Yeah, they took a game, Illawarra, and I think it was the Broncos to Alice Springs, and Channel 9 had the coverage. And
in 94?
Yeah, and the Fat and Sterlo made their way into the Centrebet offices, and we kind of hit it off, and... I hear from him 20 times a day, every day, ever since. And I actually went to some of the... I'd never seen a rugby league match live until...
Oh, really?
Until he coached and went to some of those matches, so...
And do you like the go now?
Oh, yeah, no, yep. I do now. Yeah. Yeah.
Who's your team, Broncos?
Our kids played it. No, Canberra.
Oh, you stuck solid.
Yeah, no, I stuck solid.
Oh, good man.
But it's a good... You know, given somebody like myself who can't go... It's an ideal game for TV. I mean, I love AFL, but I think you've got to be there to see where the ball's going or the play that goes on around whoever's got the ball. But rugby league is pretty straightforward. You know, you just run in a line.
Okay, Jared, I found it. Hang on one sec.
Oh, here we go.
The Broncos played the Steelers in February in a Tui's Challenge Cup semi-final.
Jeez, it would have been hot up there.
It's a Wednesday night, isn't it? Wasn't that the Tui's Cup?
Was
that the Wednesday
night? It was a Friday.
Was it February?
It was pre-season, yeah.
Yeah,
now, the Bronx won 14-0. There you go. Mm.
Wow. Illawarra Steelers. Jared, let's talk for the punters. Let's go NBA, some big games today. Lakers, Nuggets, Celts, Heat, Thunder, Pelicans. Who are they on?
Well, Miami are big outsiders. They're $5. Yeah. The Celtics $1.19, a line of 10.5 points. The other two matches, Brad, we've got New Orleans at 260, Oklahoma City 152, 4.5. And there's been no real change to these prices. Denver $1.37, the Lakers 320, a line of 6.5 points. But each day there's been an upset, so I don't know who it'll be today. And as far as winning the title is concerned, well, it looks like a two-team race, and the Celtics just keep getting a little bit shorter each day. They're 215. The Nuggets 350 and the rest are 11 or better.
Mm. What about the NRL in terms of the title, Daff? Penrith is obviously favourite still?
Yeah, they are. I wanted to mention this one, Loz, because of South, and obviously they're the big talking point. So Penrith are 325, Brisbane into 410 now from 425 yesterday. They're really popular at the moment. Melbourne 6, the Roosters 850 and the rest are 11 or better. The Sharks $11. But I had a look back through. Before the season started, Souths were $9, and they were $1.40 to make the top eight.
Wow.
They're now $9 to make the top eight, 101 to win it. But the other one that sort of snuck under the radar is the most losses market. So basically to run last, they're now the second favourites at $4, behind the Gold Coast at $2. Well, obviously the Gold Coast got the win at the weekend, and then out to $5.50 for the Tigers. So it's been a decent fall from grace, hasn't it?
Most definitely.
What about the AFL, mate? There's obviously the two Sydney teams are right up there, or New South Wales teams, I should say, so right up there.
But, yeah. Well, I've got that derby.
And Brownlow as well, I'm interested in.
Yeah, that derby this weekend on Saturday, the early game. Well, the Swans are slight favourites there, Brad, at 180, with the Giants at $2. As far as winning the big dance, well, Geelong are now into equal favourites. They're unbeaten, so they join the GWS at 5. Sydney, 6. Our boys, Loz, $7. Yes. Melbourne, 8. Collingwood, 10. I know you said they can't win it, but I think they can.
No, Geelong, yeah, no, I don't think Geelong can.
No, Carlton.
Mate, Carlton. Yeah, I'm on board, Carlton. I like how they play.
The Navy Blues. You like the Navy Blues?
Are you supporting them this year?
I've got a number of teams that I support. But the three that I'm supporting this year...
Right.
Carlton, only three.
Only three, mate. I've narrowed it down to three. So Carlton and the Swans and Giants. I was thinking about going out to the SCG on Sunday.
I'd like to go, actually, I think. As well, Loz.
And I'll be one of these people with a half and half shirt. I'll have like a half Swans, half Giants. You know?
And on the back it'll be so if Geelong win a couple
more games. Canberra Raiders on the back.
Yes. And if Geelong win a couple more games, then Loz has got a fourth team for the year.
And just on that Brownlow, Isaac Heaney, well, surely he would have got the three votes at the weekend. I don't know whether they took the knife hard enough to his price. He was $5 before the weekend. And the boys only bought him into $4.50, but he's the clear favourite ahead of Patrick Cripps from our Carlton at 8.
Yep.
And Tom Green's one of a couple of players at $10. So all trophies might be heading north over the border. The Victorians would be hating that.
I think I backed Matt Rowell after round two when he was $9, and he's now $18. Great
yeah,
shopping.
Yeah, but he's still playing well.
Yeah, he might be in with the shot, but yeah, he's just flying. Some football markets, please. A-League finals. Then we've got the Champions League semi-finals tomorrow Thursday.
Yeah, we've got those two up and all of the associated markets tomorrow. Bayern Munich, 240. Draw, 340. Real Madrid at 280. And then on Thursday, Dortmund, 270. Draw, 360. PSG, $2.40. That remaining game in the A-League tomorrow night, Central Coast, 165, draw 425, Adelaide United, 425. And we've got the eliminators up for the weekend. We've got Saturday, Sydney FC, 152, draw 450, MacArthur at 5. And I see they moved this Melbourne match back a couple of hours, which is a smart move. It's on at 5 o'clock now. Melbourne victory, 240, draw 350, Melbourne City, 270. So plenty of markets open on both of those matches as well.
Jared, thank you so much.
Don't forget the bull today, boys.
Oh, of course. Day one of the carnival, yes.
Yeah, Tab have got a big presence there today. And if you hop on the website or the app, you'll see there's plenty on offer for anybody who follows racing. So check it out.
That's right. I forgot about that because every year you get a heap of people doing the bull and they go to Wagga off the back of it.
Well, the ultimate doubleheader loss was when I lived in Alice Springs doing Alice Springs to the bull because... Alice Springs was the cup was always the first Monday in May, and Warrnambool Cup's the first Thursday in May. Sometimes the weeks would clash, so to get from the cup at Alice Springs to be run at 5 o'clock, and then a mercy dash to the airport to catch the 5:40 plane to Melbourne, and then the car to Melbourne.
Jeez,
yeah, that was a
campaign. How many times you do it?
Every time I could, half a dozen or so. But the only thing is, by the time the Alice Springs Cup weekend had finished, the last thing you really needed was a few more frothies, and you're expected to get to the bull fresh.
Oh, yes. No, you can't be fresh.
That's a campaign.
But you're right, that Wagga double, there's plenty do that as well.
Yep.
Friday.
We've spoken to a few of them, haven't we, Loz, when we've been down there for Wagga. And just with the bull today, race 6, the Briley. Gee, we got a shorty there. Stern Idol for Kieran Mars, $1.35.
Wow. Well, the second favourite came out there, which had been backed from $10 into $5, and that's one of the races that's got the Bell X1 is the one I'm talking about.
Yep.
That's one of the races that's got the offer that you would have seen on Sky Channel or heard on the radio, etc. I think it's $3.50 for that favourite, Stern Idol.
Okay.
With a $20 max bet.
And here it is, $1.35. Wow, okay.
Yeah.
All right, we need a break. Got to get on. Good on you. Thanks, Daff.
See you, lads.
Adam Pengilly coming up shortly. Really looking forward to this derby, actually, on the weekend. And the Giants, well, their defender, Sam Taylor, is expected to return from concussion, spoke yesterday. He said the Swans are probably the benchmark at the moment. Respects them. They're a great team. He also said there's a lot of dislike. They were chirpy, apparently, in a practice game in the preseason. Are a bit smug as well. Luke Parker's available for the Swans after he excelled in the VFL. Toby Green and possibly Stephen Cornelio will be back for the Giants as well. Sorry, Pengilly's coming up after the 7 o'clock news.
It should be a good contest, yep. Middo. Both teams are flying at the moment. The weather doesn't look great for the weekend, though. A lot of rain around. So, but I reckon, the Giants come into this game full of confidence. They really did a job on the Lions in Canberra, and they did it without a couple of senior players, which you mentioned before. That's got to do them, their confidence, the world of good, knowing that they took on last year's grand finalist and one of the premiership favourites this year, and towed them up, and they come up against Sydney, who will hold no fears. They'll hold no fears, and they welcome those players back. So,
ripper game,
mate. I think it will be a good game. Just a shame if the weather's around there. You know, I would love to have seen it burn a nice day.
Yeah, you'd be surprised if 40,000 don't get in there.
Quarter to two on a Saturday afternoon. Perfect.
Yeah,
you know I love my weather meter.
Ah, well, what have we got? We're up to
50 mil or something?
Well, up to 15 mils tomorrow, up to 15 mils Thursday, up to 30 on Friday, up to 45 on Saturday, up to 50 on Sunday, up to 30 on Monday. That's grim.
It's going to be a slugfest.
Yeah, it's not good.
Which is a shame because they're both, 6-1 this season, playing great footy. They're enjoyable to watch, and I love the fact that they're coming out and having cracks at each other, even better.
Yeah. Well, you listen to all the experts, and they talk about how fast in transition the Giants are and how they
through the midfield,
and they just play really quickly. And the Swans, I know they've changed a little bit of their style, but they're still a big pressure team, you know, and they love that contested footy. So it'll be interesting to see what style sort of comes out on top.
We've got Gavin on the line. G'day, Gavin. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, really well, thanks, mate. What do you want to talk about?
I got three ideas for the kickoff in rugby league, seeing that the head knock situation is getting momentum, and when these things get momentum, eventually something does change. So hopefully we can change it for the better without losing the impact that the kickoff has.
Go for it.
So
tell us.
First of all, what about if the kickoff takes place, the kicking team goes deep, but the defenders are basically already at about the 30-metre line. So when they're sprinting down to tackle the guy, there's the lesser of an impact.
So they're ahead of the kicker.
They're ahead of the kicker. Can't encroach to the past the 10-metre line as such. So instead of two impacts at, say, 30 kilometres an hour, you got one with a set line and the guy running the ball back into that set line. Might reduce the head knock or the impact that way.
I'm just writing these down, mate. I need time to think about it.
What if you're doing a short kickoff and you want to try and get the ball back?
Okay, so the kicking team has to nominate that. So that was my second option. The kicking team can nominate, hey, we're going to do a short kickoff.
Yep.
No problems. Then the third one is what if the kicking team can only do that three times in a game? Or four times, or two times, whatever it be. So there's less of them, as such, and therefore, it's still there, but the frequency of it is far less.
Yeah. All right. So you've got less. You've got nominate short, long, and the 30-meter. You're on the as a line. You start on the 30-meter line. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When you're still going to kick long. Yeah.
Well, I know they're doing that in the NFL, aren't they?
Yeah, correct. Yes.
NFL, they're changing their kickoff rule. Yeah.
Yeah.
But once they kick it, that 30-metre line can go forward.
But you can go forward, but you can only go to the 10. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. So you're not having two cars having a head-on collision at 30 kilometres an hour. You've got one that's possibly going to be close to stationary and the other one running into it.
But you're not allowed to go past the 10-metre line.
Correct.
Which they probably don't now anyway, by the time you catch the ball, depending on the height of the ball.
But you're still going to be able to build up some revs if you catch it in your in goal and pass it to a forward.
Yep.
He's still going to have 15 metres to wound up.
That would be my worry. Still, you're now putting the defenders at risk in a way, sort of. But I hear what you're saying. It's got merit.
Would they be at risk if they've got more time to kind of set themselves and can align themselves properly with the guy running the ball back as such? So I was there on Thursday, basically right on top of it when that collision took place.
Yeah.
And you were seeing guys come from different angles as such. And this is going to lead me to my next question to you, Loz. How hard do you think it would be in rugby league for the players to adjust that it's simply a two-man tackle every time?
Oh, it'd take a bit of time, but
why
I'll tell you.
Why don't we just change the whole sport?
I know where you're going, but it's something that all administrators are contemplating at the moment. Like, what do we do to eliminate the risk of head injuries? Look, it'd take a while to re-educate, but it wouldn't take as long as what you think, two-man tackle.
That's just, honestly.